Welcome back to A Little Faith. I am here with Beth Lansing. Beth, what's your official title at RVA Light?
I think my really official title now is I'm a board member, but more importantly, I'm a volunteer there.
Okay, so you're a board member and a volunteer. You've been in Richmond for a while now. When did you kind of shift there?
I started, did a 2-month stint in September and October of this past year. I went home to be with family and stuff for the holidays. And then I came back in January. So I'm actually going into month number 4 and starting to think about how I can squeeze 4 more months out of this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're going to talk about kind of an update on what's happening at RVA Light. So I guess for the unintroduced, what is RVA Light?
RVA Light is a community resource center in downtown Richmond.
It's Richmond, Virginia.
Richmond, Virginia, yeah. Started as kind of the brainchild of Rachel Johnson after traveling, you know, around the world with her dad and witnessing the problems that come with generational poverty, spiritual poverty, relational poverty. And then when she settled in Richmond, she, you know, saw the need to meet all those things right, you know, in our own backyard, so to speak. So we've been in operation for, this is our 5th year, I believe, steadily growing in terms of awareness in the Richmond community network. So what we do as a community resource center is our mission is to connect people with a sense of community, which people experiencing homelessness and economic insecurity, social isolation, all those things. A sense of community is one of the biggest factors in helping them, you know, turn things around. So that's a primary goal. And then also helping them connect with the resources in the city that they need to change their circumstances and help them move forward. And connecting them with Jesus. So as a faith-based model, that idea of following Jesus, walking next to him through the ups and downs of your life, and walking with other people who are following him, that's really central to everything that goes on at RVA Light. So in a practical way, how we meet that mission, I should probably tell you that.
Yeah.
So people come in, we're open from 9 to 12, Monday through Friday, and people come in for a cup of coffee and to sit around and visit with other neighbors. Many people come in there to use our phones. If you're in a situation of homelessness, life on the streets is tough. And even though you might start out with a phone, there's a fairly high likelihood that at some point it's going to be stolen.
Mm-hmm.
And so phone access, we take it so much for granted, but for people that, you know, come in to see us, that's a huge thing. Just having a phone and, being able to leave, you know, a phone number for a callback if they're doing a job search. So we have that, we have computers, and we will actually sit with our neighbors and help them search for jobs, fill out job applications, create their resumes. And I think the important thing, aside from just the practical nature of that, is all the time you're doing that, you're developing relationships with people who, you know, probably more than anything need that sense of community and normalcy. Like, right. I'm a person. I'm not just a case number. I'm not just a client, you know?
Right.
So.
Do you have a story or anything about anyone recently from RVA Light? Like an example of what that all looks like?
Yeah, there are so many stories. That's probably the most powerful thing about RVA is the stories that we could tell. But so there's been a young man, call him CJ, coming around. He's in his 20s. He's been homeless for a while. He tried to get into a couple places, and for one reason or another, he was turned away, didn't qualify on some, you know, technicality, whatever. But finally, because he's able to, you know, leave our number as contact info, an organization reached out to us and we were able to connect them. So this guy's been without a place to live for over a year, I believe. And he's very soon going to be housed in a particular housing facility that is designed to serve young people at risk. So where he couldn't get into some other kinds of housing situations. And I hope most people know these are not overnight things that happen. I think a lot of people labor under the notion that, oh, you know, these people can find shelter. You know, they don't have to be on the streets. That isn't entirely true. It's a very long wait for a lot of people. So they have to figure out how to survive in the meanwhile. So CJ, because of his connection with us, he's about to be, you know, moving into a home. He's also going out on job interviews and moving forward with his life. So we've been celebrating those successes with him for the last couple of days. One of the strengths of RVA is our consistency, in being there, which is so important for people living, you know, a transient kind of lifestyle. So the fact that we're there when, you know, a housing placement falls through or a job interview, you know, doesn't pan out, they can keep coming back and they're not, I think we offer a lot of hope. You know, we're still treating them as people with a hope and a future. So that's huge. An example of that kind of consistency and building long-term relationships. We had a friend, Tracy, who had been coming around for several months, and it was obvious that he had an addiction problem with alcohol. But he wasn't ready to take action on that. And just by virtue of building enough of a comfort level, and friendships, he got to a point after months of being able to say, you know, I think I need help with this. And so just being there in the moment when he decided to share that, Rachel was able to connect him with a placement like the next day for him to go and get treatment. And he was also an individual who had been coming to Bible study regularly. And I think that was definitely a factor in his, you know, coming to a place where he felt comfortable enough, like he wasn't going to be judged or, you know, condemned for having this problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, we'd been praying with him prior to this. I think it was just that relationship building. And he finally reached a point where there was enough trust there. And hope that he could, you know, make a change. So we were able to, you know, because of the connection with community services, Rachel was able to connect him with I think it was a 90-day placement.
Wow.
So as far as we know, because we can't really communicate with him while he's in there, but he did stop in. I can't even remember why he stopped in, but they brought him to Richmond. The facility, because he had some appointments that I think he had to keep. And so he was able to stop in for a minute just to let us know that he was okay and he was working his plan. So that's a great success, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good,
The story goes on. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
It's not like a happy ending for everyone or everybody, you know, reaches this point of saying, yeah, I'm a success, because in reality, that's not exactly true for us, you know?
Yeah. For any of us, really.
Yeah. I think that's a sense of community that people get coming into RVA.
Mm-hmm. You know, talk about the Bible study. So I have been there, and there is kind of two locations. There's the bottom floor and the top floor, right?
There is, yeah.
And Bible study is done on the second floor?
Yeah, our resource center is totally on our second floor now, because the ground floor, we can talk about that in a few minutes, it's been transformed into a youth center. And that's a program that we're just working to get off the ground now. It's already being piloted in a small way. So we'll talk about that in a couple of minutes. But Bible study is my favorite part of the day. It's informal. I mean, we have a topic for each day, but our approach is really, we're going to read the Bible together and we're going to talk about what we find there. So it isn't like a formal instruction of any kind, because again, building with a community with people, we don't really want to approach this as, you know, we're the experts and, you know, we're going to help you figure this out. Right. We approach it as we are fellow disciples. We are all trying to follow Jesus and, you know, understand what God's plan for us is. So that makes for some really real conversations that I don't think you get in a more formal instructional kind of setting. We hear from people, you know, that we have helped to strengthen their faith. Like, you know, obviously, if you're experiencing crisis in some fashion, it's natural to question, where is God in my life? So I think that's why it's my favorite time of the day, mm-hmm. because we can all, you know, take time to assess that every day. Where is God right. in my life? You know, I think the way I put it to a friend was, you know, I've been involved in a lot of different kinds of Bible studies. This one is more raw than most, but it also feels more real than many. If you want to know, you know, some of the things that we've talked about, right, just today, we've been looking at Jesus' ministry. And so today it was about some of his conflicts with the leadership of his day. And that led to a discussion of, you know, what is poverty really? So, yep. So
good. Tell me more about that. I'm curious after you said that.
Well, I think people that, you know, come in and meet around the Bible with us, you know, they want to hear and they need to hear that they have value, because they, you know, by the world's definition, they're poor in one way or many ways, you know, mm-hmm. And they need to know that, you know, they have value to their creator. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, to look at that conversation that Jesus had about, I came to spend time with the sick, you know, the sick know they need a doctor, you know, the wealthy don't, or the healthy don't. And the same thing with, you know, that notion of hanging around with sinners, you know, because these people are, you know, typically viewed as, you know, the outcasts of society just because mm-hmm. they're, you know, on the streets.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. I mean, I think, I know you and I have talked about this just offline, and we talked about it before because we did do an episode with Rachel a couple of years ago. Just, it's hard for people who have never experienced it to understand poverty, honestly, or, you know, or just the complicated challenge. You've already talked about how it's not as easy as it's not a light switch on and off. It's not as easy as getting placed in a home or getting a job right away. So yeah, it's so important to have a place like this but I guess, like you've already said, maybe more important to feel belonging and feel community than that even the resources.
Yeah, that is probably the biggest common thread running through everyone's stories that comes in there, is they have experienced a loss of community. You know, one lady, I was talking with her last week, and we're doing a survey right now with our neighbors that come in to just kind of see, you know, how they feel, what they think about our programming, what might we offer that we don't, you know, what do they like? And one of the things we hear most frequently is, you guys know my name. You treat me like I'm a human being. And this lady proceeded to tell me that this was in connection to a community cleanup day that was done as a program during the COVID stuff and all the unrest in downtown Richmond, they did a community cleanup day, and they went out and cleaned up the neighborhood where RVA Light is. And it it was a real success in, you know, helping people feel more connected at a time when people were feeling very polarized and alienated. So I mentioned that, and I asked this woman if she were around and had participated in that, but she said no. But, you know, I carry a plastic bag with me all the time, and I'm always picking up trash out there. And then she proceeded to tell me about how she was in the parking lot of the drugstore adjacent to our building, and she was picking up trash, and a person walked by and said, "Yeah, pick up your trash." Assuming that because she doesn't look really nice and she's obviously a person, you know, that's on the streets, that it was her trash. So that's the kind of attitudes that these people run into all the time.
Yeah.
So yeah, RVA Light is a place where they come and they don't feel that.
Yeah. So very important mission. So I'm excited to hear about what's happening now. You kind of hinted at it earlier, and I went to the website for myself, and I see there's a whole programs for youth section. I haven't seen that before. So
that is really new.
Yeah.
So one of our employees who started out actually as a friend coming in to help, he needed access to a computer. He'd been laid off and he was looking for work and definitely had skills and so forth. So he connected with us and stayed connected even after he, you know, found employment. Turns out he has a history working with at-risk youth in, you know, Richmond, and grew up in a pretty tough area of the city. And he has had this idea for mentoring city youth through a music program. In this case, it's specifically a drum corps.
Mm.
So he's put the program together. I've been helped him a little bit, you know, fleshing out his curriculum and the pieces to it. He's been developing a relationship with the Richmond City Schools and Parks and Recreation. This is all, again, a long game. None of this stuff happens in a hurry, you know, the wheels turn slowly. So he's been piloting the program for several months now, and we are just on the verge of, we have to go through a lot of different approval processes, you can imagine, for a big urban city school system. And we are just on the verge of getting through all those hoops so that the plan is this summer to really start his program full swing. So mm-hmm. I think initially it's going to be, you know, a dozen youth or so. Our facility would probably work for maybe twice that many kids. But
yeah,
we're new at it. But the idea, what we love about it is everything else that we have done has been reactive, in the sense of people come to us, you know, and they're already in crisis. But this is at the other, you know, side of that. But these are kids, you know, growing up with a lot of challenges.
Mm-hmm.
But we're hopefully, you know, the idea is to catch them and give them a sense of community and belonging and accomplishment and a vision for what life can be for them. So they'll be doing things like visiting local, we have several local universities in Richmond. So they'll be visiting those. They'll be attending sporting events where they watch, you know, like campus groups or high school groups perform, marching band. And a lot of them down here have like a drum corps kind of thing. And then another component is just teaching them life skills and mindfulness. I hesitate to use that word because that means different things to different people. You know, how to deal with emotions, how to respond to conflict, all that comes into, you know, how to deal with their own anger and frustration at their own circumstances. So, but again, the biggest thing is helping them have a sense of community and something, you know, productive in their life.
So, yeah, something to belong to.
Yeah, yeah. And the guy who's doing it, Sean, he was part of a drum corps. He grew up in a really tough area in Richmond, and that was something that really gave him kind of an anchor
mm-hmm.
going through his high school experience. So,
So Yeah. So tell me more, what happens upstairs and what happens downstairs, like in a normal day?
Well, upstairs is our resource for adults. So in a normal day, we've been seeing, you know, depending on the weather, we've been seeing about between 35 and 45 people since it's turned colder a day. So they'll come in, the big rush is first thing in the morning at 9 o'clock, and people get coffee and they maybe get warm for a bit, you know, get themselves moving. And then at that point, several will just go, but others will stick around. They'll use the computers, use the phones. We also have a lounge area, which just has couches and comfortable chairs towards the back of the second floor. And so people will go in there and just fall asleep for an hour or two, because sleeping on the streets is not safe. You don't sleep soundly. I mean, most people that come in at 9 o'clock, they're dragging because they haven't had a good night's sleep.
Mm.
So just that, it seems like not much, you know, but a place where they can put their stuff down and just take a nap on, you know, in an easy chair.
Yeah.
Where else are they able to do that at this point in their experience?
Yeah.
So I don't know how you place a value on that, but So that's happening. And then the front area, there's tables and chairs. It looks like a little cafe, you know, kind of. And there's just socializing. One woman that I did a survey, different than the other lady that I talked to, she said, I asked her what was the most valuable thing that she had, you know, gotten from coming into RVA Light. And she said, I developed a network of friends, and we still keep in touch. We're still, you know, talking with each other. So in a world where not very much is consistent and people are transient, that's huge.
Mm.
So that's upstairs pretty much. And, you know, it's kind of, like I said, the mad rush is between 9 and 10, 10:30. Then things kind of quiet down and you have people coming and going at a slower pace. This morning I was working with a gentleman that he's been coming in for several months. He's in his 50s. He's a veteran in need of, you know, more work than he's got. So he's not unemployed, and he's actually not homeless, but he's underemployed. And so we've been helping him apply for jobs. This morning he got 2 interviews while he was in there sitting with me. And so we'll just check his email and, you know, kind of talk about his skills and how they match up with, you know, what's out there. And so there's a friendship there.
Yeah.
And the work that he has now, they're jobs that he connected with through RVA Light. So,
oh, wow.
Again, you know, it's a slow thing. It's not like a magic, oh, I've got this great full-time job and, you know, life is going to be good. No.
Right.
I'm earning some income now. He's told me today that, you know, he's just about got enough money to get his car fixed now so that he can have more mobility, because a lot of jobs you need to be able to drive. And
yes. Yeah.
He's completely dependent on public transportation, which of course limits, you know, the range that he can, you know, apply to jobs in. So
yeah,
the long game, you know?
Yeah.
So downstairs, that program is an after school program. You know, during the school year. In the summer, it will be, I'm not sure if it's going to be every day, but it'll be longer days, you know. Right now, it's 2 afternoons a week and then Saturdays. So the kids come in. I haven't been able to sit in on one of those sessions yet since I've been down here. But the kids come in and their afternoon is broken up into sort of 3 parts. One, they're learning life skills, and that might be they make a snack together, or, you know, in the summer they would make lunch together. Simple things, because these are kids that largely have to care for themselves at home.
Mm.
So it's life skills. Then it's really more than mindfulness. It's, again, it's how to have healthy relationships. That's part of it, you know. So there's that section. And then the music part, which is, you know, what the kids mainly are coming in for. So they can do the percussion stuff. And so that happens 2 afternoons a week and then Saturday mornings. The rest of the time we have a space which we could do a lot of other programming in, but I'm jumping to the needs.
Yeah.
We need enough staff, even just volunteer staff, to be able to run more programs in our downstairs space, which is really lovely. If you're online there, you can see how nice it looks.
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
Very bright and cheerful. And since I've been down here, I've talked to some people who would, you know, like to do some things like for adults, like healthy living, mm-hmm. even movement classes, you know, some Zumba, some yoga. But we don't have enough volunteers to run programs upstairs and down during the day right now.
Let's talk about what you need or what RVA Light needs. So volunteers would be a big one.
Big, very big. A lot of people, part of the limitation to the volunteer pool that we have is that we're open when most people are working.
Right.
So that's tough, particularly for young people. We are working on building more relationships with the local universities and really hoping to get some, you know, student volunteers in there, which would be great. They bring a lot of energy. That requires, you know, we've got to develop a stronger training program for young people mm-hmm. to do that. For myself, because I'm retired, I have that flexibility to relocate for a while. And I think it is a great opportunity for people who have that option to just come and spend a couple of weeks, a couple months. I think I can say for a lot of people, as you said earlier, you really need to experience it to appreciate what happens there. And then you're just going to want to keep coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Volunteers, our problem is our programming is during the day largely. If we shifted to more evening and weekend program, that's a staffing issue because we need people to be there to know the facility, you know, just provide that security, which is a realistic, you know, need for what we're doing and where we're located. So,
yeah. And yeah, so like you're saying, volunteers and you would be an example of kind of a more long-term volunteer. So someone who makes a decision to go there for a month or two or the 5 or 6 or, you know, or 5 or 6
exactly.
A year.
Yeah. And for, you know, my path to this was having done some overseas volunteer programs. I thought that they were great, wonderful experiences. Mm-hmm. At this stage of my life, I don't love the idea of traveling internationally by myself. And as I've experienced the last few times I've been gone for a while, I'm of an age where a lot of my peers have health issues, family members have needs, and I don't want to be halfway around the world and need to get home. So it's a really good fit for me, and I suspect it probably is for other people in similar circumstances. You'd like to do something, and for me, this is 8 hours away from where I live. So I just went home for 5 days this past week because we just had a lot of sickness in the family, and I felt like I needed to go connect and care for the caregivers. So
I think it's a great opportunity for someone who's looking for some sort of mission, like if you're considering an overseas mission. But it's here in the States, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, there are, I will say this, those opportunities are out there for people in our faith community.
Mm-hmm.
To my knowledge, this is one of very few of its kind in North America.
Yeah. And I would say WCF would likely support even a month, like a very short time. Which I think you guys could use. And there's
multiple
in the area and everything.
Yeah. I mean, and accommodations are not an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Mine are lovely, and I've developed a wonderful friendship with Martha.
Mm-hmm.
And other families have you know, said to me, you know, if you want to play, you can always stay with us. So I'm confident there's housing to be had, short or long term down here. It's a very generous community, really.
In the rich, so volunteers is one, and the other one's probably money.
Well, of course, and you know, I mean, there are so many factors that have fed into that. You know, the pandemic situation, the economic downturn. So everybody in the nonprofit sector is experiencing a crunch. Mm-hmm. So now you're in more competition for the funds, you know, than you were in the past. So I think that's part of it. And it just takes a long time to get the word out. 5 years doesn't seem like much, but honestly, for a nonprofit starting from scratch, crowdfunded, to still be, you know, operation says something. When you go out and look for funding, though, which we are actively doing, what you find with a lot of corporate or bigger nonprofit, you know, funding organizations, they're looking for a track record. They want data. How many, you know, thousands of people have you impacted? So that, you know, it's tough to find that funding niche for RVA Light.
Yeah.
I'm confident that it's out there, but it's a challenge.
If anyone could consider, you know, a certain amount of funding, or what's always more valuable to any organization is a monthly commitment, because then you can budget based on those numbers.
That's how I started, Levi.
Yeah.
And I think I started when they started up, or pretty close to that. And, visited a few times in the past just for a day or to help out with special events. And that's kind of led me to want to pursue the opportunity, because consistency is a big factor. So it's good when you can spend some time here. But even for folks who, like, we have an Amazon wish list.
Mm.
And if people, you know, can't, and not everyone can, certainly, there are in-kind donations, things that we need, you know, aside from rent and utilities, coffee.
That's funny.
It's huge. And we go through a lot of coffee.
Yeah.
So things like that. So that's out there.
And I would say, I mean, again, you can correct me, but I would say at least a visit, you know, like a third need. If you can't donate or volunteer for any long-term period of time, you should absolutely take a visit. I think it's a lovely place to see and to get a physical, you know, actually understand everything that you've said, Beth. It's best seen and experienced.
It really is. I think, you know, and again, this is really part of my story too, a lot of assumptions that we've adopted, thanks largely to the media, movies, TV, about, you know, this population. I think there's a bit of a fear factor, and it's not, you know, it's not a comfort zone for a lot of people, but I would give an assurance that it really is a pretty safe place to be.
Mm.
In reality, most people experiencing this kind of crisis, they're not a danger to anybody. They're more in danger from others than they are a danger to others. And that was a big realization for me. So, when you visit, your comfort level will improve, because you'll see these are just people, you know, struggling with a lot of things that we also struggle with.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you, Beth. This has been a really great catch up for me, and I do hope that this inspires some people to reach out or take a visit or write a check. I think I do think that 5 years is fantastic, you know, and I know that it provides a service like that I hope can continue on for a long time.
That makes two of us, and hopefully a lot more.
All right. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Levi. Thanks so much.